today we celebrate the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he departed from them and was carried up to heaven. Now it would be easy to think that this departure of our Lord from his apostles would cause them great sadness. He was their teacher. He had been there to guide them every step of the way. If they had any questions, they had only to ask him who was truth itself. They had none other than the Word incarnate as their master, teacher, and guide. And now he was leaving them. Perhaps they might have felt like lost children. Getting lost, even as an adult, can be a scary thing. It may cause us great anxiety and worry, and we could even end up in a dangerous situation. Imagine being in the same position as the apostles and the disciples of Jesus. God himself came down to rectify our sinful world, took upon himself our sins, opened the gates of heaven, established the new law or the New Testament, sent the devil packing in his shame and terror, worked countless miracles, routed the attacks of those who tried to discredit him, and to his apostles and disciples he gave great confidence. But now he was leaving them. He had given them all they needed, and now they must carry on the mission. But he reassures them that he must depart in order to send the Holy Ghost. He says, "I will be with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." And we might well imagine that the apostles would be sad and perhaps scared and dejected. But the very next verse from the book of Luke dispels this thought. "And they adoring went back into Jerusalem with great joy." They were filled with courage and confidence and a holy joy. Not, of course, as much courage and spiritual strength as they would receive when our Lord would send the Paraclete, that is the Holy Ghost, but they were refreshed by our Lord with a supernatural strength to face the things that were to come. They might have feared greatly that the Jews would have 11 more crucifixions as they returned into Jerusalem, excluding at the time, of course, Judas, who had already despaired and hung himself. But they returned with joy, adoring God. And this should remind us that when we have crosses to bear or great trials to overcome, remember, Jesus loves us and will not abandon us, especially when we are striving to do God's will. He will give us the courage to continue on. But above and beyond that, he will bring us joy when we are truly committed to doing what he desires us to do. Some refer to this joy as a peace of heart, contentment of mind, peace of conscience. Although I think that you can look at any of the lives of the saints to confirm that following God's will is still going to be a trial at times, and even perhaps a great burden. But also, using the lives of the saints as reference, we see that these trials or crosses are turned into joy for those who love God and seek to do his will in all things. The cross is their joy. Their glory is in their sufferings and trials. I remember a holy card with a picture of the crown of thorns, and it said on the card, "I never said it would be easy. I only promised it would be worth it." And I know we might think, well, it's easy for saints. They were bolstered up with countless graces from God. And yes, admittedly, it's not always easy to face our own trials and embrace them with joy as the saints did. Perhaps we loathe our trials and our crosses. But the thing to remember is this, that if we persevere in striving to do God's will, no matter how poorly we carry our crosses, in the end, Jesus will come through with his grace, and we will ultimately succeed. We are reminded of the same principle in the matter of prayer. Although we may get distracted, although we may feel like we're making little or no progress in the spiritual life, although we may feel that God has turned away from us, Despite these negative feelings, if we do our best to avoid distractions and truly make an effort to pray well, in the end, we are doing all that God expects of us, and His grace will triumph in our hearts. I should add here that it is very important to pray with trust and faith in the goodness and generosity of God. A prayer said which is tainted with despair will not appease God and will instead incur His anger. Yes, Jesus still comforts us and is near us, even though He ascended into heaven. I say near us, for He is right here. He is listening right now to you and me. When we look at it in this way, I think it becomes very clear why the apostles and disciples could return to Jerusalem with joy. Jesus ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and yet He waits for us here. We have only to come before Him here in the tabernacle to hear Him speak to our hearts. More than that, we have the opportunity of receiving Him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, into our own bodies for strength, courage, guidance, and the nourishment of our souls. Our Savior knew that we would need this great gift. He did not abandon us. In fact, He is with us in an even more intimate way when we receive Him in the Blessed Sacrament. He yet lives among us, but now in silence, and our poor souls surely need the strength of the Almighty to keep us on the straight and narrow. Certainly, we get a glimpse of what the soul endures on earth and the paradise to come when we look at the passion, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. It is a lesson in which we are to learn how to live and die. We see Him in His passion, suffering and toiling, yet praying God the Father that if the chalice of His suffering could not pass away from Him, then that the will of His Father should be done. We see Him when He is dying on the cross in great agony. He prays the Father to forgive His enemies, and He bears all His intense suffering with hope and obedience. And then what joy when we behold Him rise from the dead and show Himself to His apostles and followers. And finally, He ascends into heaven 40 days after Easter. What a blessing to have our Lord in all His resurrected glory, never again to die or suffer for 40 days. And then the wonderful event arrives. His apostles and disciples are gathered together. Our Lord gives them some last instructions and encouragement. He lifts up His hands to bless them and rises into the sky until a cloud obscures Him from their eyes. And He enters into the glory of His Father in heaven and begins to be with us in a different way. The Acts of the Apostles tells us the event in the very first chapter, verse 8 to 12. But you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witness unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when He had said these things, while they looked on, He was raised up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they were beholding Him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven shall so come as you have seen Him going into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount that is called Olivet, which is Jerusalem, within a Sabbath day journey. So we see that the passion and crucifixion of Jesus reflects the toil and the crosses that the faithful soul will have to undergo on earth, in this valley of tears, as we call it. But if we persist and are obedient and do the will of God, keeping the true faith and striving to obtain that level of Christian perfection which Jesus requires of each one of us on an individual scale, then we will see the glory of paradise, which is reflected in the resurrection and ascension of our Lord. As our Lord said, not all who cry, Lord, Lord, shall be saved, but he who does the will of my Father, he will be saved. Or, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Yes, we all say, I wish to be in heaven. But how often do we really wish to go to heaven? How often do we desire to go to heaven? For many, it is merely the thing to say, I want to go to heaven, sure. But if we really want to obtain eternal happiness, then let us not complain when our Lord hands us the cross and bids us to follow him on the path to Calvary. If we really wish to go to heaven, then we must avoid sin at all costs. We must prove it by our actions. Yes, we would even fly from venial sins, knowing that they can weaken us and only lead us to mortal sins, which will prevent us from entering heaven. Let us do the will of God, keeping the commandments and following the teachings of the church to the very end, with resignation, perseverance, and trust in the love of an almighty God. Let us then not just give lip service to God, but really mean it when we say, I wish to go to heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.